Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have not prophesied, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as scribes. Let's focus on the verses about the two houses, one built on the rock and one built on the sand. I've always been a little uneasy in storms myself. I think it's the lack of control that kind of rattles me. I just don't like it. I don't like anything about it. My first realization that I was afraid of storms was my mom and I think my aunt, we were at the Sizzler out in Oxford. I think I was around 9 years old. And the wind started blowing real hard and things started moving around. Next thing I know, we're under the table at the Sizzler. Was it the Sizzler? Western Steer? One of those steakhouses that used to be in existence before Longhorn and Outback pushed them out. So, and before we realized you could, steak was a lot better than that. Sizzler's not any good anymore, is it? It's not good enough. I don't know either, brother. So, anyway, we were under the table there. And the next day, we were there to pick up school clothes, do some shopping. And the next day, we ended our shopping trip. Next day we came back and there were things flipped over. You know, billboards were torn apart. Signs were torn down. And that was the first time I'd ever seen such destruction. And kind of made me uneasy. You know, a couple of years ago, I don't know, it was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, we had a storm here in Bowden. It was like a tornado or a sheer wind or something kind of took a path up 166. Y'all remember that? It came right through our front yard, and I remember that night I had been up till about 3:30 doing schoolwork, laid down, and then the storm came around 4:30, and it was over in just a minute, and you really didn't know how bad it was. Then I woke up about daylight to people out in my yard with chainsaws kind of clearing the yard for us, and I think some of you guys were out there. I don't see anybody, but there were some familiar faces out there, folks out there helping us out. So I drug out of bed and went out there and started chopping, sawing, and loading wood after a long night. But, you know, that storm came right over our house. We had four trees at each corner of our property, and it took the tops out of all four of those trees, and there we were sitting right in the middle of that. And the house across the road, they ended up tearing it down because the storm damaged it so bad. You know, God protects us from some of those things, but it's not a good feeling to be in a storm and to not have the control there and the real ability to protect your family. There's one thing for sure, that storms are certain. The storms in our life are certain. We'll all experience them, large and small. Sometimes we look at one another and think that person has it made. You know, we always think everybody else has it made. But the truth is, you probably don't know what kind of storm they're in, if you really knew about their life. None of us are excused from the fact that our days are few and full of trouble, just as the Scripture says. Your survival in a storm does not depend on your strength as much as the strength of your foundation. And your strength is that rock, Jesus Christ. So, the last time I talked, we talked about having oil, having the Holy Spirit to make our lives easier. And all that's true, and the Holy Spirit's there to give us guidance. But we must first have the rock of Jesus Christ in our lives. We must first build our lives on that foundation, that of Jesus. So the same storm that washed away the house that was built on sand didn't harm the house that was built on stone, that was built on the rock. It's amazing to me when you look at a foundation, what all it makes up. I used to do electrical work with my dad growing up. You know, he was an electrician, and he'd take me on different jobs or whatever, and I tried to take a shot at it. And I remember we went under this house one time. It was an old house. We were rewiring it. I don't know what we were doing. But in the crawl space there, the house was actually sitting on tree stumps. The old-timers had cut off the stumps level and had built the floor joists on top of those stumps. And I thought, my goodness. I mean, I was a kid and I knew better than that. You think about it. A big wind comes, it's going to lift right up off of that stump, isn't it? So we're building a house right now. So I got to see this up close. Brother Rodney is building it for us. And the way he built ours is he dug a deep hole. He filled it full of gravel. He drove rebar in there and put a bunch of wire around it. And then he poured concrete on top of that. And then he wired. Then he still had little stobs sticking up out of the rebar stobs and stuff sticking up out of the concrete. And then he wired it into the rest of the slab out through there. And then he poured concrete on top of that. And then he did the framing for the basement. And he drilled holes through the wood and into the concrete and put these big bolts in there about that big and these big washers and tightened it down onto the concrete. So all I know is if that house start, if it blows away, it's going to take a chunk of dirt with it because it is in the ground. And God would have us to be that firmly planted in the rock into the foundation of Jesus Christ. If we build our life on temporal things, you'll have nothing to cling to when the pressure is on. There's got to be a depth there. So, the storm is certain. The wind will come and the rain will fall. You know, we got to have our lives founded in a core belief and a core system of who we are anyway. I got like 4 emails in the last week asking me, some recruiter asking me to go off to the Pacific Northwest and be a VP of some company up there. It may be a total scam, but it's one of those things where none of that entices you if you know what God wants for you. So I ignored the first 3 emails, and finally I got the 4th one, and it sounded like they might actually be serious. So I said, hey, I finally emailed him back and said, hey, the work I'm doing here is important. What I got going on is where I'm supposed to be. I'm not interested. And we'll see if the emails keep coming. But God wants us grounded in His purpose. We all have a purpose. And there's nothing that should pull us off of that purpose. So the storm is certain. The storm will also strengthen. The storm has a purpose. I think I've told this before. It might have been a couple years ago, but you know the mast that goes on ships that holds up the sail. That mast has to hold a tremendous amount of strength. Well, the way they make that mast is they make it out of a single tree trunk, and it's made from a conifer tree. And I didn't really know what that was, but you look it up, and I know they grow them out in California, but it's this huge tree, and it looks kind of like a really big Christmas tree. And what they'll do is they'll cut the, back when they used to use wood for this, they'd cut the trees out from around that tree so it would catch the wind from all different directions. And as that tree was growing up, it was gaining strength in all different directions so that when they did cut it down, it could become that mass and have that strength, and all in its wood grains would be strong in all directions. See, you can't gain strength if you're protected and you're sheltered. So God would have storms come through our lives so that we can build muscles and we can build strength so that we can take on the greater positions that He has for us. And you know, when I looked at those trees, I looked at the pictures on the internet, and when they're growing out in the forest, you can't even see the trunk. All you can see is the limbs and the leaves around it. But when God, or when those things are put into use, the trees are stripped down to nothing but their core. And sometimes I think God does that for us. Sometimes He strips us down to nothing but what's left. Nothing but that kernel, that core, and He puts us to work. So God has a purpose for us. Our storms match the purpose, and our storms are no match for the rock. So, in my life, I've had some folks kind of put me out there like that conifer tree. I had a boss that told me one time, he said, I got to get you some exposure to some different things so you'll have some scar tissue. And I said, well, you know, scar tissue don't sound good. Well, you need some scar tissue because I won't always be here, and folks my age won't always be here. So if you don't get out there and get some scar tissue, you won't be able to handle it when you're standing by yourself, you know, when you're the older or the more senior person. So I found that to be true in my life. The more scar tissue you build, the more the tougher you are and the more you can handle. I think God knows this truth too, and He does the same for us. And He puts us in the storm to give us confidence in the rock, but not necessarily confidence in ourselves. Have you ever come through a crisis? I mean, one of those things that you just don't want to talk about and get to the end of it and say, boy, I nailed that one. That was, boy, I showed my strength all the way through that thing. No, we don't ever do that, do we? When we get to the end of those, we're talking about how big God is. And we're talking about how much grace and how much mercy God has. So when we go through those things, we know that that's not where our strength is. God is our strength. So the storm is certain, the storm will strengthen, and the storm will reveal. See, when the weather is fair, both of the two houses, they look the same. No difference. But when the storm blows and it gets relentless, the strength of the house is revealed. Or at least the foundation of the house is revealed. So the rain descended. Trouble came from above. And the floods came. Trouble came from below. And the winds blew. They were sweeping across. Came from the side. And beat upon that house from every direction. And it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. The weakest and the most lightest get tossed around in the winds and washed by the waves. You know, I've retrieved our trampoline at least 3 or 4 times after a good storm. It just has no foundation. It has no grounding. We can't be that way in our lives. We've got to have a grounding. We've got to be into the rock. Verse 24 says to hear and do, because to hear alone will not build strength. The strongest are those putting themselves out there and taking risks. You can't get strength sitting up in the bleachers. If you sit up in the bleachers, all your strength will atrophy. You know, I found at my job, some of the greatest mechanics that we have, some of the most talented, end up creating some of our biggest mistakes that we have to do the most repairs on. It's because we give them the hardest jobs. And they get out there and they take the risk and they try to do the work for us. So sometimes you got to take a risk and get out there and make a mistake and get yourself in the game. So when your house is standing, but others are in tatters, what can you do? You see, the storm is certain. The storm strengthens. The storm reveals. But other people's storms also tell us something about ourselves. Other people's storms tell us how we're going to act. You know, a lot of times we act like we want other people to do well, but sometimes we, deep down, we really don't. We like to see people in trouble, right? Because that means we're doing better. But the Holy Spirit would have us encourage other people when they're in storms. See, in the Greek word, encourage means to call to one side, to comfort, to console, to strengthen. Basically, to put courage into. I think it's interesting that the Greek word for encourage is the same one used for the word comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. So when we see other people in trouble, we can demonstrate the Holy Spirit in us by encouraging them. Encourage them in their storms. I believe it's an indicator of whether the Spirit's working within us. So let's move back to the foundation. You have to have the right rock to have the right foundation. You know, I was working at a theater up here in Carrollton, and I would drive to Atlanta and pick up the movies. They were in these big cans, and they were on reels I think now they probably just email the movie, or maybe they download it from an internet or something. I don't know how it works. But used to, you had to go pick them up in a can. And sometimes the boss would let me drive their El Camino. Do y'all remember El Caminos? It was a car. It was a truck. I mean, what happened to El Caminos? Who had one? Did anybody have an El Camino? There's one. Anybody else? There's one back there. We need to bring back the El Camino. But I'd take that El Camino. Sometimes I'd drive my car, but I'd take that El Camino up there and I'd get those movies. And I noticed one day, because I'd have to go right downtown. I mean, right off of, I forget the street now, but you didn't want to be there. I'll think of it in a minute. It'll hit me when I'm going home, but it was not a safe place to be. But they were digging a hole, a big hole. A really big hole. And I remember driving by thinking, what in the world are they doing? Digging a hole. I'm talking about a hole big as this building and down. And I'd go back, you know, the next week and they'd still be digging the hole. And the next week I'd go pick up movies and I'd see some concrete going in. They were building a foundation, a very deep foundation. And by the time I finished up that place, finished working there, there was a skyscraper sticking out of that hole. And, you know, I think back on that sometimes, and, you know, the Lord gave me this truth that the higher you go, the deeper your foundation is going to have to be. It takes a lot of foundation to hold a building that large. It was the Westin Hotel. It's that round one up there in Atlanta. But the higher you go, the foundation, the deeper your foundation must be. You know, life is like a vapor. And I grew up around a lot of folks that were living their lives real hard in their 30s and 40s. And I could name some names, and you guys would know them. You know, we used to have this Legion out here, and I would go out there with my dad as a kid, and he'd be out there, with his friends, and I'd be shooting pool, whatever, and that was part of my every other weekend visits. I got to meet a lot of people that were living that lifestyle, and I got to watch them through the years, you know, for the last 30 and 40 years. And if you talk to them now, many of them, their bodies are just done. You know, they're 60 years old, and 60 is still young, but they're carrying around 80 and 90, well, I would say 80 or 90-year-old bodies until I look at folks like Brother Donald and my wife's grandfather. He's 90, I think he's turning 91 or 92 this time, and he's just great. I mean, he's walking around, he totes his own wood and all that stuff. So, but a lifestyle, that sort of lifestyle will create a lot of regret when you're in your 60s that way. And I would encourage anyone in here that's trying to figure out their lives to really tap in and build a foundation on that rock. Because you may think that right now is the time to have fun. Right now is the time to do what you want to do. But life very much is a vapor. And in 20 and 30 years, all that stuff that we were doing, it comes back. It comes back to haunt us in our bodies. It comes back to haunt us and basically, you look in your hands and you see that it's all gone. There was all that work and all that contribution or all that you intended to have because you were going to do it later. It's not there because if you don't invest in anything as you go. So we got to have our lives founded in that rock. And I would encourage anyone in here that doesn't know Jesus to accept Jesus, because that's the beginning. That's the beginning of turning everything around in your lives. I was telling my kids this morning that I was saved when I was 11 years old. That's about 31 years ago. And I know exactly where I would be because I've seen where my bloodline takes me if it wasn't for being saved and having that rock in my life. And I still got a long way to go. But I tell you what, without Jesus and without that force in my life, there's no telling where I would be. Jesus is my strength, and I have no other source. I have never once looked back at my salvation in regret. It's never happened. So build your life on the rock, and the storms will come, but you'll have the strength to withstand them. Thank you for your attention.